Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I am pleased to have as my guest today Robert Maripole, who is the son of Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, and he's here to discuss Donald Trump and the Russian connection. So, Robert, it's good to talk to you again. There's been a lot reported in the news and on TV and stuff, and it's hard to decipher the truth from fiction. So from your perspective, how do you feel about this whole scenario?
Well, let me step back, you know, and give you a little background on my perspective, just for the audience, though I'm sure plenty of people know already. And that is that my parents, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, were accused, convicted, and ultimately executed for conspiracy to commit espionage. This occurred at the height of the McCarthy period. While the charge, conspiracy to commit espionage, is sort of a general and vague one, what in the public's mind the case was all about was the theft of the secret of the atomic bomb, giving how to make an atomic bomb, the sort of recipe of how to make an atomic bomb, to the Soviet Union at the height of the Cold War. And of course, to add to, so we're talking about, you know, the relationship, the interrelationship between the United States and the Soviet Union, which of course doesn't exist anymore, but it's now been, it's now the Russian Federation. So, but we have this weird sort of standing on its head of who is supporting what. Way back when, it was the right wing that was attacking the left wing in the United States for being soft on the Soviet Union, for committing, quote, treasonous acts. You know, that's... That's
Robert?
A very different. Yes, I'm sorry. That's that was the right wing attacking the left during the McCarthy period. And now what we have is the kind of liberal Democrats or the mainstream semi-central Democrats and even some on the left attacking the right for being too soft on Russia. So it's kind of a weird flip that's gone on in these 65 years since the height of the Cold War. But another little element of convergence is that the assistant counsel in my parents' case was Roy Cohn, the assistant prosecuting attorney. And Roy Cohn later on went on to help Senator McCarthy in the Army McCarthy hearings and other hearings and became a very notorious McCarthyite figure. And Roy Cohn later went into private practice after McCarthy was disgraced. And one of his chief clients was the Trump family, including Donald Trump Sr. and then Donald Trump Jr. I don't know if he's junior or senior, but basically Donald Trump became, or Cohn became Donald Trump's attorney. And Trump has referred to him as his mentor. He taught him his attack style. So, and Roy Cohn was instrumental in my parents' case. So we have this weird continuity that one of the chief prosecutors in my parents' case was the mentor for the current president of the United States, who is trying to get all buddy-buddy with the Russian Federation. So, of course, my perspective is, I mean, in some ways it leaves me, the situation today leaves me scratching my head and saying, you know, the truth is stranger than fiction. I would have never predicted that we'd come to this. So
Wow.
I don't know. I think that answers your question, but it is a strange thing for me to see this and to try to figure out. You know, it's not the right wing Republicans who are screaming, you know, we need a new Cold War. It's mainstream Democrats, and in particular, if any of your viewers or listeners, I should say, who tune into MSNBC, I mean, they hear about this every night, on and on and on and on, from the supposedly liberal wing of the Democratic Party, and I think that's truly bizarre.
Wow. So where do you get your news sources from?
Well, you know, I basically, it's funny because I mentioned MSNBC. My computer, phone, I'm hooked into the NBC News app. So that NBC is my main source of mainstream media news. But I'm also hooked up to all sorts of, you know, online listservs that spend news, whether it's Common Dreams or Portside or Alternate or, you know, there's a half dozen of them that I get. And I find myself, you know, reading those things alongside of the mainstream news. That's where I get my perspective from.
Now, do you ever listen to Fox or center-right news? And if you do, what's your feeling about this? Because they're more or less kind of trying to give the president a pass and say, oh, it's too early to make judgments and stuff. So what's your feeling about center-right news stories?
I very rarely listen to them. Every once in a while, I will, if I'm channel surfing on TV and I come to Fox, I might listen for a few minutes. But I just find it revolting, frankly. It's clearly a propaganda mouthpiece for the policies of Trump. But at least that's the way Fox seems to me. So I don't pay any attention to them. And it's interesting. Every once in a while, I get to be on a major news program, and I basically have a policy of never going on Fox. And I've been criticized. Some of my friends have said, "Oh no, you have to engage them," and I'm not interested in engaging them at all. I think it just legitimizes them as a news agency, and I think they're totally illegitimate. So I have as little to do with them as I possibly can.
Now, when I put on cable news, I put on MSNBC for, you know, sometimes. And my feeling about MSNBC is it's all scripted. For instance, Rachel Maddow and Mika Brzezinski, they're not reporting news. They're stenographers for what the corporate sponsors want them to say. Would you agree with that?
Well, I don't know that it's as simple as that, but it seems to come out that way. First of all, I think there's some legitimacy to, there's both good and bad things about Trump meeting with Putin, okay? And it's not like Russia hasn't done anything wrong. The problem is that everybody's done things that are wrong. But by focusing totally on the Russian probe, this sort of most liberal, and I put that in quotes, of the mainstream media is essentially ignoring what I think are much more important issues and what I think voters actually think are much more important issues. I think what they're doing is they are playing into the corporate Democrats' claim that Hillary Clinton didn't lose the election because of her positions. She lost the election because of Russian hacking. And I think that's baloney. I think the reason she lost to Trump is, aside from the fact that she ran a lousy campaign, is that the positions she took did not resonate with the average American. And those things are what motivate voters today. I mean, things like the minimum wage, things like health care, things like how we're going to treat the millions of undocumented people in this country, how all of these issues are front and center before the voters, and people are very concerned about them. They're not as concerned about some conversation that Trump had with Putin. Now, that said, I don't want to dismiss all that. I think, this is where the complication comes in. On one hand, I think it's really good for the leaders of the two nuclear powers who have 90% of all the nuclear weapons in the world at the moment. I think it's good for those two people to sit down and talk instead of be threatening each other with annihilation. So I think it's good for that to happen in general. But it's very hard to imagine that much good is going to come out of a meeting between Donald Trump, given who he is, and Vladimir Putin, given who he is. And, my theory on this is that, first of all, I don't know how involved the Trump campaign was with any electoral shenanigans with the Russian Federation. But I think it's pretty obvious to me that Trump has had all sorts of shady business deals with the Russian oligarchs, and that what he's really trying to hide from is the fact that he's a crook. That's where I think, and I think when you start looking at Mueller's probe and you start looking at where he's going, it all seems to be around financial shenanigans. And that's, I think that's more the case than some sort of collusion with Russia in terms of elections. That said, I think also if you want to look at it from a geopolitical perspective, it's quite possible that Trump, who has no ideology other than, building up himself as much as possible, is very interested in, he looks as a racist, he looks at Russia, well, it's another white country. It's a very powerful country with a lot of natural resources. Wouldn't it be good to have an alliance between the United States and Russia against the rest of the world? Wouldn't it be, wouldn't that be a good thing? But this alliance wouldn't be, an alliance of countries trying to do good. It basically would be to try to set up an international oligarchic capitalist system. Because the Soviet Union, it doesn't exist anymore. It's not a competing economic system. It's an economic system that I think Trump would like to follow here in the United States. And so I think it's quite possible that he does have some ideas of sort of an autocratic kleptocracy, a global kleptocracy. And I think, that would be a terrible thing. Trump and Putin meeting together is a good thing because of the diplomatic aspect of it. But I think in terms of, where it might actually lead us, I think it's a pretty terrible thing. It's very hard to come out with a clear-cut picture given that.
You know, I know you were very young when your parents met their fate, but do you ever, when you're listening to TV or reading a newspaper and something comes out at you, do you ever say, hey, wait a minute, you know, that bothers me or something? How do you feel about that?
Well, I think, you know, there's all the time. I mean, I don't want to claim to be the world's greatest expert on my parents' case. But the reality is that most of the real experts or researchers who've written on the case, who were, you know, contemporaries of my parents, who were intimately involved in everything that happened, have passed on. And there are very few people in the world who are as familiar with everything from the trial transcript to all sorts of secret files that are not secret anymore, to all the literature, and all the a lot of the individuals involved who I've been able to have private conversations with. The result is both me and my brother, it's hard to find anybody who knows more about the case than we do. And so when you're a real expert on a historical event that gets mentioned on radio and TV and in newsprint on a regular basis, you get to, you know, you take a, something comes out and you scratch your head and you say, oh my God, you know, once again, they're saying the Rosenbergs were executed for treason. No, they weren't executed for treason. They were executed for conspiracy to commit espionage. Or, you know, once, you know, I see another thing about the Rosenbergs were giving away nuclear secrets. Well, you know, I know that nuclear means hydrogen bomb and that my parents' case had nothing to do with the hydrogen bomb. So I scratch my head and say, once again, you know, they've got it all wrong. Now, these may seem like little things, but they happen all the time. And it's so what gets fed through the media to the general public and the mainstream media is so riddled with errors. And if you're an expert on something, you know it. And I suspect that just about anybody else who's an expert on a controversial event that took place, that of major historical significance, that's constantly reported in the news media, that they go through the same process. They just look at it and say, oh, how could they get it so wrong? But, you know, you get used to it. You know, I don't go to bed at night, you know, grinding my teeth over some stupid news story. It's just not worth the trouble. But it does bring me up short, and it does, as you suspected in your question, it does happen regularly.
So, you know, this whole thing is very interesting because I was reading a book a while back, and the book was called Executing the Rosenbergs, and my friend said to me, well, why don't you see if you could contact the Sons? And that's how I contacted you. And, you know, from a perspective of you listening and watching what's going on, I think it's kind of interesting to for you to talk about how you feel about the entire situation. I'm just so amazed at everything that's going on, you know, in this country right now. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be an ongoing saga, and I'm hoping we could talk again. So let's close it by asking you what your final thoughts are and what people should be aware of.
Well, my final thoughts are on this whole Trump-Putin thing is that we want to get rid of Trump. And the way to get rid of Trump is to focus on domestic political issues that hit everybody. And let's, you know, sure, I'm not saying the investigation should stop. I'm not saying we shouldn't pay any attention to this at all, but I think people should be going out and talking about how Trump is taking away our health care, how he's taking away workers' rights, how the gap between rich and poor is growing, all those economic issues that are going to move people. That's what people should be talking about. And that's that, at least that's where people should be focused.
You know, my thought about this whole thing is, you know, when you watch the TV and you hear all this stuff and they say what a renegade Trump is, I think he's just doing the bidding for the wealthy corporations in this country. He's doing exactly what they want him to do. So all this new stuff, to me, is a diversion for what's really going on. Would you agree to that?
Yeah, I basically do agree. I think that you know, what the corporations wanted was that giant tax break, and he gave it to them. You know, and what the corporations want is to weaken labor unions, and his Supreme Court appointment will do that. What the corporations want is to prevent protests against their policies, and that's also where that's also what Trump is doing. All of those things are true. However, it's also true that there are some powerful corporate forces in the United States that are scared of Trump's oligarchic authoritarianism. And so I think when you look at the Mueller probe, when you look at the Democrats screaming treason, when you look at the battles that are going on sort of in the top corporate suites, in fancy offices, I think the perspective that I have about this is to look at it as kind of a falling out among thieves. None of these people are good guys. You know, there are all these people trying to defend Mueller. You know, Mueller, along with Ashcroft, was one of the inventors of the post 9/11 hold till cleared policy, which presumed that Muslim men were guilty until proven innocent. And this is a guy who headed the FBI in the wake of 9/11, and they were terrible on what they did. And so this guy is no hero. And we should recognize that, you know, again, to repeat myself, I treat this in many ways as a falling out among thieves. And the hope that I have are the sort of Bernie Sanders wing of the Democratic Party asserting itself and us getting a genuine left presence in the national political scene. And I hope that can continue to flower, and we should not be distracted by the relationship that we have to Putin or Russia.
Robert, it's always so, so enlightening to talk to you. I really enjoy our conversations, and I hope in the future that we will be talking again, because this is going to be an unfolding story. So you have been listening to Robert Maripol, who is the son of Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes, comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Robert, have a great day. Have a great rest of the summer, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Yes.
And
let's
thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.